Welcome to another episode of the Grappling with Life podcast. Today I'm joined by the grappling think tank, Dr. Amir Islami and Doctor of Pain Khalid Ismail.
What a way to start.
So I thought we'd get cracking today with something like quite very important subject here, which is the top five best martial arts films.
Ooh.
I'll let Coach K start.
Top five. Top five, yeah.
Top five.
So we can all come to a consensus.
I was about serious
martial arts films, bro.
Martial arts films.
Yeah.
Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no. You got to start from.
Did I start here? Yeah.
You start. I don't know. So where does that fit in your?
I'm gonna throw them out.
I think throw them out.
Yeah. Throw them out. Then we'll put them in.
We're 80s babies, isn't it?
Yeah.
So definitely Enter the Dragon. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Bloodsport.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kickboxer.
Yeah. AWOL. No.
Okay. It's a martial arts.
AWOL. No Retreat, No Surrender.
Oh!
But that's the best worst martial arts film.
King of the Kickboxers.
King of the Kickboxers. So that's four. Well, you've gone too quick, man. Okay, yeah, that's your four, yeah?
That's five.
So is it? Enter the Dragon.
Bloodsport.
Kickboxer, AWOL, and King of Kickboxers.
King of the Kickboxers.
Okay, so my one, I would
No
like
Retreat, No Surrender, that's six.
No Retreat, No Surrender.
So I would throw in Karate Kid 1.
Mm.
Not because of what it done for the culture, innit? Mm. Not for the actual. Does that make sense?
No, it's a good movie.
It's a good movie, bro. Yeah, yeah. Like
it kind of probably got the ball rolling.
Technique-wise, yeah. It's
because all kung fu films made kung fu like support kung fu, right?
What about The Legend of Fung Sai Yuk? Yeah. By a Jet Li.
Ong Bak's a good film. Ong Bak.
There's loads of stuff. Even did you ever watch Dragon, the Bruce Lee story?
Oh, that was wicked.
I love that film.
I remember watching that.
Bro, that was a wicked
film. I remember watching
that 97, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no, probably before that, I think.
95, between 95 and 97.
I went to cinema and people were coming out doing flying kicks. The first time I've ever seen that where people got so hyped up, the two guys jumped.
Do you remember that scene where him and his wife are arguing? And he goes, you want to be a dishwasher? He goes, yes, mister, be a dishwasher, yeah. And he goes, bro, he got really into it.
Him and his wife?
He was, as in,
when he went to China.
He went to China.
No, but you'll be nothing but a dishwasher.
No, that's when he went to America. But then when he went to his wife, they were arguing, and he said, you know, they used to treat me like a dishwasher.
Oh, right.
And he goes, yes, sir. Okay, sir.
Yes. That was emotional,
thing.
Bro.
Yeah, bro, it was emotional. Then he went, yeah. And bro, he punched the thing. Yeah. And went, ah! And I was like, yes. I'm getting
And I like the stuff.
He done it really
the
well,
The dream
bro.
Sequences as well.
Yeah, yeah,
about your fears.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that was quite good as
and
well.
And your anxiety.
The whole thing about the gin and stuff.
Yeah. What about Universal Soldier, bro?
Come on, man.
Nah, that's another good movie.
That's another good
movie. I'm all ears.
When did, I think, when it hit 2000
for
martial arts films, it kind of fell off, bro. Name me another film after 2000 that was I would put Matrix down.
No, Steven Seagal kicked in.
So at that time you had Van Damme, Steven Seagal.
So like between 80
Jet Li, Donnie Yen.
But 2000s was like the era of Ong Bak.
Jackie Chan.
These are all pre 2000s though.
Yes, I'm saying.
After that,
the golden era.
That's the golden era.
But Jet Li started getting more and more. Like, remember Unleash and those kind of films?
Yeah.
They were serious.
But I feel like the culture, you know,
you have to watch Unleash, bro.
That's such a good film.
Go get him, boy.
Bob Hoskins,
innit? Go get him, son.
Great movies.
But what I was thinking about the other day, I was like, what's happened to martial arts films now? Like, name me one martial arts in the last 5 years. I would say John Wick.
Yeah, John Wick was
John
good.
Wick, John Wick, yeah. Would you class it as a martial arts film?
Yeah, definitely.
So the thing is, they've got more story.
Yeah.
John Wick, like, whereas... Story?
His dog died, bro.
Yeah, but there's a story around it, isn't it?
What was the boogeyman.
The boogeyman, yeah.
But like, if you look at...
Rush Hour, bro.
Baba Yaga. But if you think about, like, the older martial arts film, the storylines were, like, very traditional, innit? Like, you've got the sensei who teaches the... Like, if you look at Bloodsport...
Real life.
Kind of, yeah. Which is kind of like the topic of what we're going to talk about today, about coaching, isn't it?
Yeah. Kickboxer, sensei. Yeah.
Do you remember Quest?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was... I like that film.
That was a little bit.
That was a bit like Mortal Kombat, innit?
When that wrestler, the Turkish wrestler, who's actually his mate, he's also Moroccan. A killer. Is it Moroccan?
He's Moroccan.
The Kissy family. Kissy family.
Yeah, I think. Bring up Brock Quest.
Tom Close Kissy. His brother's Attila.
Yeah, he's one named Mohammed. Mohammed
Kissy. Massive Kissy.
Yeah, Mohammed and Massive Kissy.
And bring them up.
Bro, and also, massive. He was in Bloodsport.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When he got his knee popped.
Yeah. He was the kickboxer.
Yes.
And he got his knee popped. Yeah.
But what's the most, bruv, one of the most iconic scenes in Kickboxer is.
You bleed like Miley?
No, not that. That was one of the. But for me, it was when you hear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the guy, I think, was it the brother that walks past?
It was Van Damme walked past.
Yeah, and then he looks at him.
Bruv, you want that? I know the whole.
Is it?
Do you remember when he back?
Eric, don't do it. Eric, don't do it. I see him and the plaster was falling down.
Can you move like me?
Oh, yeah.
He goes, sit down and shut up and watch.
You know the brother? Was he an actual fighter?
Yeah, bruv. He was a bad boy.
Was he?
Heavyweight kickboxer.
His accent was quite bad, to be fair.
What's his name?
He was amazing.
Oh my god, I forgot his name.
Because back in the day, they would get martial artists and make them into movie stars.
He used to fight with Hawaiian, it looked like leaf.
Oh, right. The tiki
palm leaf stuff.
Yeah, but he was he was amazing. He was a really, really good fighter. Kick the
Where's
tree.
The sound? That
your brother. Remember, your
brother. You want this?
Like this. Oh, like this. All right, that's what we're doing on Monday.
That's Monday's class.
That's what we're doing. You want me to break my leg?
And leave.
But why?
40 a bit, Zach? I don't want to get kicked off YouTube, bro.
Oh.
My brother, huh? My brother.
Wicked scene, bro. I'm getting hyped. Okay, I'm getting goosebumps. Come on.
Can you stop? Pause it for a sec.
Bro, do you think that's real?
They could have had.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they do this.
Yeah, yeah. I kicked it when I was in Thailand.
Oh, you did that as well? Yeah. Is it part of the training?
No.
Oh, you just did it.
Just
you had to, innit?
Part of the tree.
And they went, hey, what are you doing?
Hey, Dad, just planted that tree, bro.
Why are you doing that for?
You just watched kickboxing.
You know Van Damme? USA!
You know what's funny,
okay,
bro?
USA. Remember, that's what. Okay, USA.
What is that, bro?
Most random thing in the film.
And that guy, the biker guy.
Yeah.
He's in kickboxer, right?
Yeah.
No, he's in Bloodsport, innit?
Yeah.
Like,
What was his martial art? I don't know.
It was bar fights.
It was bar fights.
He's Pat Abbott. What's that? Tank Abbott.
Yeah, it's not Tank Abbott.
He's like the original Tank Abbott.
Yeah.
Bro, when Tank Abbott, sorry to go, when he came on the scene, first time he came on the scene, he goes, and he sees a fat guy moving, and he just went, "You ain't ready for me yet." He goes, he said something like,
"What in UFC?"
He goes, "You ain't seen nothing yet." And bro, when he came in and he basically whitewashed everyone.
He smashed.
What was his thing though?
He used to bang, bro.
Was he boxing?
He trained TOCs, didn't he?
Yeah.
He trained TOCs back in the day.
But bro, I think his hands were like to leisure, bro, like a fridge.
But he was
like Kimbo, innit? Like he's just a brawler, innit?
No, but he was academic. I think he had a master's or a PhD in science or something. He was an academic, bro. But he was he just loved fighting. And I remember the scene where he just went, he goes, "So tell me, are you khaki?" He goes, "No, I'm not khaki."
What scene?
There's a bit where he's talking to the...
UFC.
Joe Rogan, whoever it was at the time. It wasn't Rogan, it was before Rogan's time. He goes, "So do you reckon you're khaki?" He goes, "I'm not khaki, I'm just confident." Bro, it was like, you know... And I was like, oh, this
Did
guy,
he win the UFC?
No. He first tacked off, didn't he? Oleg beat him.
Oleg.
Put RNC'd him.
Oh, you got good memory, man.
He's memory a lot more better.
I love that fight, bro.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, he's not well. He had a liver transplant.
He's sick.
And a kidney transplant.
Yeah, somewhere. he don't look
Bro,
like
did you see Frank Mir's arm, bro?
No.
Bro, Google this. Frank Mir arm.
Why?
What's happened to it?
The guy thought he had MS in it. His arm is like the size of mine, bro. One arm is the size of mine and the other arm is huge. Yeah? And he went on the podcast talking about it. He goes, "I thought I had MS.
What was it?
So he's basically disc fused, special pressure on the and bruv, his you look at it, he goes, my arm was even skinnier than that, bro.
Yeah, wow. So it's the same thing with Basrutin. You see the Basrutin arm.
Yeah, what's happened to Basrutin?
I think he had a similar kind of problem. Because he got PND, so peripheral nervous disease. So,
how does it get to that point where you're
basically the disc? I don't know about fusion.
But how does it get to that point? How would you get your How does your
is it pinching or something?
Yeah, basically the whole disc either it propulses out, so herniates out. It's very rare to get effacement. Oh, but so it's not rare.
Zach, did you find it?
So basically, you know, if you look at your vertebrae, right? So any part of your lumbar spine, there's two bones, and there's a disc, and there's a little bit of what's called the foramina. So there's a little hole that the nerves come out.
Yeah.
So obviously it doesn't come out the bone because that would be painful, you know. So it actually makes sense.
So there's space in between. There's
a jelly. So that jelly is your disc, so you get all that movement, right? Problem is, you get effacement, so you start getting this kind of like, the space starts getting tighter and tighter because the disc starts herniating or you start getting degenerated.
But how does that happen?
Through time, bro, just for it to wear and tear.
But if you didn't wrestle, you wouldn't...
No, you can, but you're not... So I'll give you an example, right? Look at our era. No pain, no gain. What are you talking about? Yeah. No pain, no gain. Yeah. Are you crazy?
Yeah. That's recovery and stuff like that.
You know, what do you mean? Go back and train again. Like, no, but I need some physio. I need some deep tissue. Where's hijama? Where's some fine needling? None of that.
Yeah.
Right? It's just right. You felt pain. It was good. Like, no, it's not good. So eventually something gives way. Something rips. Something tears. Like today was doing open mat. One of the fundamental boys, really lovely lad, for that he, just a little bit of tendonitis. I said, stop. Ice it. You're done. I said, no, get off the mat, you're done. Because that's the stage one, isn't it? So you've got a little bit of sprain, a little bit of a... The next thing's a rip, and next thing you actually get complete avulsion, so the bone rips off. It's ridiculous. And then you're out of action, and you can never use the arm, you've got lots of movement. It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, it shocked me, bro. Like, you know Frank Mears, Matt, he's like 6'3", six foot four.
Big lad.
A unit. He goes, I couldn't... What's 5 pounds in weight?
2 kilos.
He goes, I couldn't even put... He goes, I had to assist my arm up and then let it come down.
Let me tell you,
it's the only picture I can find.
Yeah, bro, look at his arm.
Oh, his right arm.
Yeah. Is that his right? Yeah, his right arm.
Look at his forearm compared to his bicep. So that means the injury was happening at what's referred to as C5, C6. C7, so there's different levels. So C1...
As in the neck?
Yeah, so if you look at the neck, you go C1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then the nerves that come out are relation to the disc. Right. So basically, you can tell when someone's got an injury, which part of the injury happens. It's crazy, man. And people don't take care of themselves, bro. Simple things, man.
But he goes off, in my head, he goes, I've got MS, bro.
So remember, the thing is...
Alhamdulillah, it's not MS, bro.
So if you're careful too from injury as well, right? We spend... 20, 30, 40 years developing muscle, right?
Yeah.
This overnight, used atrophy. Yeah.
Oh my God.
5 days, 6 days?
Yeah, yeah.
Your bicep goes from 17, 8 inches, like 11 inches. And you're where's the muscle gone? Yeah. That took me 20 years.
And to build
years.
It back up, it'll take about six to nine months, bro.
Easily.
And pain. And the thing is as well, the guy, I can't remember who I was listening to, this guy had a stroke. Full, I think he was paralyzed, but...
There's a type of paresis, so there's a
Literally, he can't move. Yeah, so he said that him trying to move his body was like it was the most difficult thing he's ever done in his life. Yeah, and he said it was the most boring. You know, the physical therapy. Because imagine something that you do, like pick up a cup, that's become something that
it's a mountain.
It's like something impossible, bro.
Yeah.
So he was talking about. Like, he goes, I used to get distracted a lot. Yeah. So when I had this, I used to listen to music. I used to watch TV, read books and all this stuff. Yeah. And when I was training, I would have my headphones on and I'd train and everything. And even through therapy. Yeah. So what he decided to do, he goes, I was going to cut out all the distractions. And he goes, I'm just literally, I want to hear my muscles grow, bruv. Literally, I want to concentrate everything on. He goes, only until he did that, did he start feeling. Because he was in the moment, innit, when he's training. Mm. He goes, think about it. He goes, like, before I never used to think about it because it was easy, right? Mm. It was now, it took every single bit of my brain to kind of, he started seeing a little bit more progression. But subhanAllah, I was just thinking about, it can get snatched away from you any minute, bruv.
100%.
Like, and if you're not careful, 100%. And people get, like, not even from training, bruv, like, bruv, there's mans that fall over and, like, you see what I'm saying?
Even choking on your food.
You're choking on your food. Like, oh, it's a bit depressing, bro. But, no,
but it's not depressing.
But actually, it's just to be thankful. Reminder, yeah.
You're thankful for what you have to hand and what you could not, what you could miss if you're not careful.
I saw a picture of Kurt Angle, bro.
Yeah, he looks really.
The guy's got no neck and he can't move, bro. He has to. Have you seen him trying to turn his?
Yeah, his
biceps are like. Do you know what Kurt Angle used to be like, bro?
He must have the same thing, innit?
Probably, bro.
But he did actually injure his neck badly in Olympics, didn't he?
Broke his neck, innit?
Yeah, something like that. So I think
he fought with a broken neck. But bring up Kurt Angle, bro.
Yeah, I think his disc completely came out.
But he, you know what's funny? He hasn't got a beard, and he's completely got no hair. He just looks like a thumb, bro. Lama Berk. Like, he's shaved in his head. He's got really light eyebrows, yeah? No. See, that's what he used to look like.
Yeah, that was...
That was like...
But if you see him in the Olympics, bro, he's looking like a proper...
Yeah. Captain America, bro.
Captain America, bro.
Look.
No, when he had hair. When he had hair. Put the match against Abus Chididi. That's him, yeah.
Look.
And then type in Kurt Angle today.
He looks like a diet version of Dana White.
Look at his mic. No, look, the topless one over there, the top. He looks all right, but he's not like big, innit?
But he's like 50 now, bro.
Yeah, look at his arms. Look how small his arms are, bro. Look.
He looks like Bas Rutten.
Yeah, Bas Rutten.
So you reckon it's from his neck? Because his neck's still thick. And look at his pectorals, bro.
What's wrong with his pectorals?
They're small. Like before, they used to be big, innit?
Yeah.
Like, and his shoulder.
Can't stay young forever, bro.
Yeah, it does look like a thumb, though.
Lama Berk.
Handsome thumb.
But I mean, I'll take that all day at 60, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know. How old is Kurt Angle, bro?
He wrestled, I think he was in his 20s and 19, in that.
In the 80s, isn't it?
It was not 80s.
In the late
90s.
Early
90s. 1996.
Okay,
96,
so.
Atlanta 96.
So how old is he then?
So 53. Yeah, that's about right.
Okay.
Early 50s, yeah. He's about 22, 23.
But he's probably got a body of a 70-year-old, bro.
Yeah,
like joints and stuff.
It's dog years, isn't it? Dog years, that's what happens when you train like that.
Have you seen, what's his name? Dan Gable.
Can we get back to, oh my God, thank you. Can we get back to the top five?
Top five. So what I was trying to say to you is that, it's fine. That's podcast together, bro.
Yeah.
But like, you know, before you'd get like a martial artist and then they'll make them into a movie star, innit?
Mm. Yeah.
Now it's like, they get a movie star and they teach him martial arts. Like you look at John Wick.
A good one is.
But he trains though.
He does train, but he wasn't always like that, bro.
A good example of that.
Let's not forget he made Lake House, innit? I'm Bill and Ted. Do you know what I'm saying?
So a good example of what you just said, is the film Green Hornet.
Yeah,
that's a really good example.
Which one?
The new, not the Bruce Lee one.
Seth Rogen. Right.
Seth Rogen.
Oh yeah.
In the film itself, he's actually tried to model him into a martial artist. Did you see?
What do you mean?
Like he wasn't a martial. He was a nobody. He was just some playboy, wasn't he? He was nobody.
What the
Seth Rogen?
The Green Hornet.
Green Hornet.
Yeah.
So actually, he trained. In the actual movie, so if you see what I'm saying,
right,
the same kind of thing.
Yeah. But like
Green Hornet was wicked. Back
but
then.
I feel like those old legacy type golden age films, it's. I mean, at the time, I think if you look at it back at it, the storylines were ridiculous, bro.
Okay, so let's.
But you're not watching it for the storyline. You're watching it for the martial arts bits.
Let's throw a curveball in there.
Go on.
Wild kung fu films that you can remember back in the day. So, Drunken Master.
But they were ridiculous.
They were wicked.
One-Arm Boxer.
One-Arm Boxer?
You never see that?
No. What's that?
Wicked movie.
Who's in it?
It was one of these Jackie Chan.
There was one called Martial Hero as well.
No.
Shoeshine.
Do you remember Snake and the Eagle Shoeshine. Shadow?
Shoeshine.
Snake and a Monkey Shadow?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
remember right in the beginning, the two snake brothers killed the monkey master.
Yeah. Bro, they were good.
And they'll have to hide the last monkey guy in the middle of nowhere. Snake in a Monkey Shadow, bro. What are you looking at, man? Oh my God, what the hell?
What's that? One-Arm Boxer?
Ninja Free.
Do you remember American Ninja? That was a good film.
Yeah. He could have fought either.
Yeah, they can't fight. What's
was that? Look American that punch, Ninja, bro. The one where he threw the kid in the water to see if he could swim. What was the one where he done that?
Because there was four parts. I
think it was part one. What was the one?
Oh, Undisputed.
They're good.
That was a recent one.
Yeah. That was like 2003.
Boyka.
And Warrior was good. I liked Warrior.
That was a good one.
It was more of a dramatic film.
Tom Hardy. That was good.
Yeah, American Ninja.
Yeah.
I think it was American Ninja where the samurai, whatever ninja, they throw the kid in the water.
Only the
bro, don't you think that's such a 80s baddie, bro?
That's good.
Ponytail.
Mark Dacascos films.
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Banging film.
But have you seen it recently in that stupid Netflix? What's that?
I didn't watch that.
Woo Assassin.
Nah.
He was the main guy. I was like, what the hell is
going on? It was good in John Wick.
I think there was like 2001 to about 2004. There was this like from Indonesia, those films like.
Oh, Raid.
Raid.
Oh, yes.
You had like
the knife fight.
Best of the Best.
Best of the Best. Oh my God, such a good film.
Three was wicked, bro. Best of the Best part three.
Such a good film.
Wicked.
Yeah, he was good.
That's the only thing I know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Eric Roberts. Junior Roberts. Brother.
Oh yeah, him. He was dead in there though. It was just a.
Yeah, he was just.
Oh, The Last Dragon. Oh my God. Bruce Lee,
Oh, yeah.
Who are you?
This is when Bruce Lee died, isn't it? Yeah. And then they had all these different versions of Bruce Lee, isn't it? Unleashed.
Kiss of the Dragon. Remember?
Kiss of the Dragon. Romeo Must Die.
Do you know that scene in that, when he said, look, please don't hurt her? He goes, all right, mate. And he
Kung Fu Hustle, bro.
I didn't really feel like that.
I think for me, it wasn't really a martial arts film.
It was more like a fantasy kind of. It was wild.
Well, Transporter, I didn't like it, bro.
Transporter.
Zach, put that fight scene on with Kiss of the Dragon with the built black unit guy against.
He's British, isn't he?
Is he British? Yeah?
I think he's British. I think he's former British. I think he's definitely
Kiss of the Dragon.
In France.
I don't think I've
Jet seen wicked films. The fight scene, Jet Li, and he's.
Oh, Zach, we can't play too much, yeah?
Which bit, bro?
We'll play about 10-15 seconds.
Inside the restaurant?
It's a little coffee shop. It's like some tailor shop.
Yeah, tailor. But his uncle.
His uncle's shop. Yeah, just for here. Just go back here. He goes, please.
Oh, I've seen Kiss of the Dragon. Yeah.
He goes, please don't hit her again.
Oh, I've seen this. Yeah, I've seen it.
And he slaps him.
Wait. Bro, this fight scene.
And then the other guy comes in.
The black fella comes in. Wow.
Oh,
he slaps him.
And then wait. And then they go, keep on going. Do I turn up the sound? He goes, come here. Go to the fit when he fights the black guy comes in, yeah?
Oh, yeah, when he's leaving.
He's just slapping everyone, though.
This is it. He just comes in. No, Zach, go to me. Put his jacket on. Go back.
Pause it. Is that chick Congo, bro?
Wait. Look.
Black leather jacket and no t-shirt.
Bro, just come.
That's how he still roll in the track. That was a normal thing down back in the day.
Bro, look how big he is. He's definitely
is he a kickboxer?
School. Definitely.
I think so.
Oi.
Anyway.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, Kiss of the Dragon. I remember those Jet Li films in that era was...
And those two brothers, the French guys, and they were in... 50 something. What was that French film where the baddie was an Algerian guy? It was a drug lord. You know, in Kiss
District
of Dragon,
B13,
District B13.
District 13.
You know those runners.
They're free runners. Yes, free runners. I remember them. Yeah.
Remember those two guys? They were in. They actually in Kiss of Dragon. They fight Jet Li right at the end.
Yeah,
you know the big guys. And there's a little guy who used to fight Jackie Chan.
That was one of my favorite fight scenes when he comes out the bag.
Yeah.
When it comes out a duffel bag, bro. That's crazy, man.
Bro, he was flexible.
Yeah, that was good. What? Jackie Chan, you know, for me, Jackie Chan's fights, you know, the cleanest ones.
Yeah.
Him versus Benny the Jet in Wills and Mills was probably one of the best fight scenes ever.
Wow.
It's just well choreographed, man.
You got that one?
Bring that Benny the Jet.
Benny the Jet versus Jackie Chan, Wills and Mills, bro.
That was a wicked fight.
One of the best. And he keeps doing that thing. He goes, touchy.
Yeah.
But Benny the Jet's face, man.
Oh man,
says it all,
bro. This scene.
Look at the kicks, bro.
Just the scene, man. Look at that. And Sammo Hung. Come on, bro. Look at that.
Do you think that's all real, bro?
Yeah, they actually did. And then he told the story about it as well.
They don't use strings as well, bro. They don't do any strings. No,
that's why he was. That's why he was so good.
So what? They're both fighters.
Yeah, proper guy.
Benny and Jet was fire.
And K Joe, that's
watch his spinning kick. He does.
Oof. K, you know that's when Benny Jet was actually winning tournaments.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, you're going against full force, man.
But he looks like Johnny from the block, bro. Like watch from Essex.
Oh, he hits, hits him with his spinning hook kick.
I'm gonna have to cut it off here, Zach. Hey, that's your homework, guys. Who's that's listening? Go watch.
Yeah, wheels on the mills. Wheels on mills.
Meals on
wheels on mills.
Wheels on mills.
Wheels on mills.
Wheels on mills. Yeah.
Yeah, freaking banging film, bro.
Yeah, wicked film. Even I tell you, never got too much credit was Yun Bio.
Yeah, he was his boy.
It was his boy in this film as well.
In loads of his.
So basically, it was Sammo Hung, Jackie Chan, and Yun Bio. They're all three. They call them the three brothers. That whole time.
Sammo Hung was
another one. Defied physics, bro.
Bro, amazing.
Doing martial law.
Yeah.
The series.
I just love that.
It was so good, man. It was like the whole East meets West. Yeah. Like when they had the Rush Hour era, that kind of.
That was good.
Rush Hour was good. Who, me, you? Hey, you sit down. You told me to stand.
No, but I think the first one was my favorite, bro. Skinny Chris Tucker, bro. Skinny Chris Tucker. And you know with Chris Tucker, bro, yeah? Like, he probably, like... done that all off the top of his dome, bro. If you see the outtakes, everyone's different. Every single one of them is different, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
The dialogue.
Because he's cracking jokes.
Yeah, he's just crazy.
But I used to love watching the bloopers at the end.
Yeah, bloopers. Yeah.
$60 million. Who do you think you did there?
Chester Gritton.
You know the bloopers for the old Jackie Chan films. Those are painful to watch.
Oh my god.
Oh, when you miss it,
miss something, or the guy, you know, the women especially when they get. Because he made them do their own stunts.
No way.
Bro, the women, when they go flying, they headbutt, and like, oh my God, they quickly pick her up. She's like all over the place.
Do you know another amazing scene? Cynthia Rothrock.
Oh, and that Japanese karate fighter.
What's her name? She's always been Jackie Chan.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot her name.
Michelle Yeoh. The blonde one.
Michelle Yeoh.
But them
that
two.
Was wicked. Cynthia Rothrock, bro. What happened to her?
Just
the blonde girl.
Little short.
She was like always on Black Belt Magazine, isn't it? Wait.
How about the American guy? What's his name? The Australian guy.
Oh my god! I know what he's talking about. He was always a bad guy in it. Blonde hair.
You know the wicked kick.
Richard Norton.
And then he had that American Indian looking guy on a motorbike. What was his name?
Dakota.
Yeah. What was his name?
Keith Cook.
He's another one, bro.
But what happened to these guys?
I actually googled Keith. He's got a martial arts club. Somewhere in
Phoenix. Is it?
Yeah, so he just teaches. I think kind of went out there.
I think they all got their black.
But do you think since MMA,
their black was in BJJ.
Do you reckon since MMA started, like, you know, like, I would say the second wave, you know, like the GSP era.
The GSPs and what's that, a Brazilian
Anderson
Japanese
Silva
guy. What was his name?
Machida and stuff.
All those guys are striking.
I feel like also with what's happening with all these fake martial arts are coming out as well. Yeah. I think that the whole golden era, bro. That people just forgot about all that, bro. They look at it like, but that's kind of where MMA came from, bro. Mm. You know, all these guys used to cross train, but
yeah,
you see what I'm saying? A lot of them, bro. Look at what's that Filipino guy, Bruce Lee's student? What's his name?
Danny DeSanto.
So they used to cross train, but obviously, like, I think
actually Bruce Lee's student, but also Bruce Lee's teacher. He taught Matthew to use the sticks, didn't he? So
I think Bruce Lee was the pioneer.
Yeah, he was pioneer
MMA. Yeah,
remember that scene philosophy. Enter the Dragon?
Yeah,
it was an MMA fight.
Yeah, he gets
it. Armbar came out.
And even the gloves and stuff.
The gloves, the speedo shorts.
The Valetudo. Where do you reckon he got that from, bruv?
I don't know.
No, it was his journey in it. So I think.
Do you reckon he went to Brazil and? Do you reckon he was?
No. He never. I don't think he done anything like that. I think what he was.
Because that was before Brazil, bro.
No,
the Gracies were there, but they were in geese, bro.
Do you think he was aware of them, bro?
No, not in the 70s.
Yeah.
They were there
in the 70s?
Yeah, bro.
60s.
Yeah, 70s. But you think about Helio Gracie.
When he fought.
No, they weren't in America.
I'm saying he's probably aware of them, though.
Yeah, but they used to still come in on geese as them. They weren't like. The Carson Gracie era was probably late 70s, early 80s when they came in the Speedo shorts, and you see them come in like.
What I was trying to say is, do you reckon Bruce Lee was aware of it?
As you know, no social media.
Yeah,
but he's a student, isn't it? Do you know what I'm saying? He might have been.
But as I said to you, I think that's why he's a great. Because what his...
He developed it on his own. Bro,
his whole thing was, oh, that doesn't work. Because even when he was talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he said, what's the point of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar learning judo because who's he going to hip throw?
That's so true, yeah. Bro.
So he goes, that art doesn't suit those type of people. So he goes, find things that suit you, which is correct. And I think just that thinking was why he's a pioneer in all this stuff.
I was watching this clip the other day.
Even his book, he's got one chapter on grappling, on wrestling takedowns.
I still haven't read that book, man.
What is it? Tower of Jeet Kune Do.
But there was a guy talking about, like, he was saying that even for strength and conditioning as well, like, he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, because
he even messed around with, like, drugs as well, bro. Like, they're talking, I say drugs, but, like, perform, like, creatine. Like, might as well not taking creatine, like
yeah, but that was the whole bodybuilding area, though.
Yeah. So he was, like, for martial arts, it didn't cross over into martial arts, innit? So he was really
but
kind I think, of...
But he was on that journey of, which is what people do now, how can
performance,
I be,
innit?
How can I be the best at what I do? Yeah. Which is what they do now. Yeah. I think, I trained with a famous trainer called Howard Rainey. He was a boxing coach, and he had so many world champion stuff. When I trained with him, he was a pioneer. Yeah, in UK, he was a pioneer of, like, really new kind of, like, you know, everything that we do now. So he used to do, you know, parachute running.
Okay.
Yeah. So he used to do that with bags and stuff back in the day. So now that became a thing. Now he used to make his boxers balance on certain boards.
It's funny you said it because I remember when we went to buy the kettlebells, and Razor was saying to me, again, someone I take a lot of advice from because he was several years ahead of his time. He'll say, "Bro, don't make fun of these kettlebells. Watch in 10 years' time." This is like 1998, and I went, "What do you mean that?" He goes, "Don't make fun of it." He goes, "You watch one day, everyone's gonna be doing kettlebells." Power clubs, bands. He goes, "You watch." We went to this kettlebell shop that was all shutting down, and they're just selling like dirt cheaps. They just buy them all, like, weighing 200, 300 pounds. We just all the stuff we got in the gym, just loaded it all up. And we're talking about.
How old are those kettlebells, bro?
I think we bought them in 97, 98.
So those kettlebells in the gym?
No, a lot of them were recent. They look like the old ones. Yeah. Ones that are all chipped off, especially the power clubs. Not all of them, probably a handful of them. A lot of them I bought online because. I don't know how things go missing in the gym, but things just go walkies, you know.
<Can't> say nothing,
you know. But so do you understand? Like,
yeah.
So it was like you couldn't see that, you know. Even this whole thing about grip training and all that kind of, you know, strength training, that perspective. I take a lot of advice from him on that.
I think also, like, do you feel like now?
So I'll give you an example. Like, we were doing a session once, and I bring kettlebells, I bring battle ropes. I think it was like 2003, 2004. And everyone's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Just guys, just do what I'm saying." And I remember I sat there with Tony Agostini, guy's ahead of his time. And he was doing what is like what today you would know as CrossFit, but back then it looked like weird stuff. He goes, do this, this will help with your training, da da da. And we sat, we had a long chat. I started doing it with people, and they're like, they wouldn't appreciate it. But the only people that appreciated it were those who are already in performance training. So we had that wrestler Jamshid. He came up to me, goes, "Brother, you know this is," he used some profound language. He goes, "X, Y, Z, you must not never stop doing this. You must do in my country like this we train." He goes, "Tell everyone else, basically, go away."
That's true.
Very impolite way.
Yeah. I think sometimes you get too, like, the because simple stuff. Remember, is the ones that
you know it is. Because we haven't got Olympic gold medals, people don't want to listen.
Yeah. So I think also as well, there's a lot of I guess sometimes we get questions for in the gym, yeah? Like, people go on YouTube, yeah? And then they're listening to it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's English gathering.
But the thing is, that's where it stops.
But who you listen to? Yeah.
Exactly. That's another thing as well. How do you know who to take from, all that stuff?
Because I was just having this talk with Alex, one of my students. He sent me a really good breakdown. Someone done a breakdown of Mike Tyson's fighting, and this breakdown was really good, mashallah. But this guy that done the breakdown, he's actually a pro fighter. So what he was discussing is how quickly he declined after Customato died. So what? And when you watch
who Mike Tyson?
Yeah, when you actually watch the fights, and because I used to have Mike Tyson all his fights, wow. And I watched every single one.
And you can see it.
And you can blatantly see it. So his whole game, slipping, moving, setting up with the jab, that all disappeared. So it was very much like one bang.
But who trained him after Customato?
So there was Kevin Rooney.
That was customer. Those so basically, second in.
There was three people. So it was Teddy Atlas.
Oh yes, yes.
And then Teddy Atlas left. He had a problem with him.
It's his daughter, isn't it?
Yeah, something. Yeah. And then when he died, Kevin Rooney took over. But then Don King came into the picture, fired Kevin Rooney. Then all this stuff, and you can see like it was a mess after that.
Wouldn't you be scared to rear someone like that in your gym?
Risk.
If Mike Tyson came into your gym,
how would you
like today? So this is a good point, yeah. So now we're gonna go to what today's subject is about coaching, bro.
You nearly have to make sure he sees you like his father.
Yeah, but you can't have any other students, bro.
If you're gonna work with Mike Tyson, because Catskill Gym, because a lot of people like remember
was
that,
it just Mike Tyson?
No, that's what everyone thinks. It's like peekaboo style. Yeah. It's a style. It's like you know when people go, "Oh, why are you doing peekaboo style?"
Who was his student before?
There's loads, man. There's Patterson, Oscar Suarez. There's so many.
They all had the same style. They came with the same black boots, no socks.
But it's a system, though. It's a system that is the smart thing. So when people say, "Oh, why are you doing peekaboo style?" That's like saying to someone, "Why are you doing karate?" So why are you standing like this for?
Right.
It's a style that people can adopt and use and develop their own way. So Floyd Patterson fought that way. He used to do the leaping left hook that Mike Tyson done.
Yeah, you see it.
But Mike Tyson, it just suited him better.
His body.
A lot of things were mechanics wise.
It just fitted nicely.
But I'm saying to you now, say Mike Tyson walked into your gym tomorrow.
Okay, there's a difference though.
Mike Tyson, not
this
him.
This is what we always talk about though. Yeah. And we always said this before. You have trainers and you have coaches. Mm. Yeah. So, alhamdulillah, I think, you know, with us lot at our clubs, I would like to think that we're coaches. Inshallah. Because I've always said, even last podcast, I said to you last time, I go, our whole thing is life is hard, we build strong people. Mm. So, we're trying to educate people, not only in fighting, but in life. And I think Mike Tyson is someone that would need that. Like you would need to get him underneath your wing, and that's what you're
but
about.
But didn't Cosmo actually do that? And obviously, when he passed away, he became an orphan again. He's like, where do I go now?
He was lost. But even this, bruv, look, subhanAllah, when you listen to the story,
in his house, right? He lived in his house, right?
Yeah, but Shay, listen, I said to someone, go, imagine if you wasn't destined to meet this person, or these people weren't destined to meet, or this was Qadr of Allah, like kind of thing. He went to jail at 13. Yeah, at that point, when he was in his jail cell, something made him stand up, look out the window. Two boys were walking and they had bruised eyes and they were laughing. He goes, what? These guys had just had a fight and they're laughing about it, giggling. Where did they go? They went boxing training. Mm. So now he wanted to go box training. Where he went to do boxing, the person that was there was Customato's friend. He saw Mike Tyson and said, Cust, you need to see this guy. Took him there. But if they weren't meant to meet, when you think about like so many things had to happen, that guy had to be there. He had to know Cust.
Fate,
it's fate, man, and it's like you can see you leave this legacy.
I think a lot is said about Customato as well, like obviously his skill and his fatherly kind of thing. But what about Mike Tyson at the time?
Okay, but those
he had to be ready to receive all that, innit?
Yeah, because now he needed love.
Yeah,
I think he never had love, and even like now when you watch him, you can see pain. You can see
pain, bro.
But when I see him now, you think skin like you. He's. Yeah.
Remember the time we went to his house and he goes, it's all junk.
Yeah.
It's all junk.
The medals and it's all junk.
All the buses are all junk. I don't want this.
I think...
He's always talking about peace, isn't he? Peace of mind. Yeah. Even Jeff Thompson talks about peace of mind.
Everyone, yeah. When you fight and when you go to the stage, you start realising, okay, I've done that. Now I'm in another stage of my life.
Yeah.
But I think, again, if you were just to look at training people, he wouldn't have lasted.
No. What do you mean?
If you just went to a trainer,
I see what you're saying.
It would just be Customato became. I think he saw something in him, and it was like this kid needed love.
Remember, he said about the thing about you take a flame and you waft it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But it's to control it, to keep that fire controlled.
And also, he didn't just teach him fighting. So every single day, you hear the stories like every single day, he would like, what's the difference between a coward and a hero?
Pearls of wisdom.
Character building.
Tarbiyah.
So he built all of this.
Remember that conversation about, look, I know Mike, when you look at that guy, he looks 10 foot tall, but know that he's thinking that about you. Well, that is your dad's giving you advice now. Yeah.
And even if you watch a couple of fights,
he's crying in the thing before the fight.
Even after he fights, you see him, he's like a little puppy. He wants to jump everywhere. And they're saying to him, calm down, relax. And then he's like, okay. Because he had some sort of guidance where people were telling him, Later on,
is that Mr. Miyagi and Karate Kid?
Bro? Yeah, but later on, it became him dictating everything.
Yes, that's the problem.
And that's where it changed.
So the there's a child in a shop.
He wasn't ready.
But you're looking like, at a kid in a candy store, and there's no one controlling him.
People forget, man. He was 20 years old, or 19, 20 years old when he won the heavyweight. Yeah. He looked like
he became a multi-millionaire.
But imagine your brain at 20. And dealing with all that stuff.
And
not just his, but his brain.
Remember, his brain.
His upbringing.
Also, no adab, no akhlaq, no tarbiyah, no training.
No fear of Allah, bro.
No fear of God, nothing.
Nothing.
Complete, I don't care.
And he had that customer, that figure that was controlling him. I say controlling, that was giving him...
He was Mickey.
That when, now all you have is sharks around you. Don King, biggest shark, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Only in America.
Yeah. So he just saw him as a cat. He milked him.
Yeah, one time.
And everyone around him, bruv.
Yeah.
And then that's why you see cash where
cow,
he is bruv. Now. Yeah.
Cash was cow a cash cow.
He's been, he's been
used and abused. So like when you get, when you get.
When you receive students like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's more about caring for them, to be honest.
But I think also it's keeping them in check because we know this and Gabe, we was talking about this before. You start getting these gym monsters that are growing and if you don't control them, they get out of control. And then literally you're stuck.
Yeah.
You're stuck.
I think
it's multifactorial. It depends on the parents, depends on us, on them. And I think Kay hitting it on the head, there's you're either a supervisor, you're a mentor, you're a coach, or you're a trainer. And I think the embodiment of the coach is all of them. So you're keeping an eye on them, you're there for them, you're guiding them, you're speaking to them, you're giving them a paternal figure. You know, and I think there's the problem with coaching, Kay, there's a lot of energy involved.
Ah, man. Yeah. I remember, it's hard, bro. For example, I remember I became a counsellor.
Yeah.
I literally became a counsellor. I remember I said coach people and they would hit the pads, they'd go 1, 2, boom, then they'll start crying.
Yeah.
And then for the whole hour now, I'm just sitting with them and I have to give them advice.
Crying about hitting pads?
No.
Their life.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Then they cry after the session. Yeah. So then what happened is, it's like, I remember another guy I trained, and subhanAllah, like, I didn't see him for a little while. He came back and he walked in. And in my head, I was like, this guy's lost loads of weight.
Mm.
And in my head, I was going to say to Mario, you lost loads of weight. But I didn't say nothing because it didn't look right. I had a conversation. Then after 5-10 minutes, I'm walking and I keep bumping into people.
Mm.
So basically, he's got beginning stages of onset MS.
Yeah.
So now, how do you train these guys?
Mm.
So like now, it's no longer about, yeah, bruv, we're going to be heavyweight champion. Bruv, this guy's just trying to survive.
He needs energy.
He needs something. Energy. Yeah, he needs something just to help him. And then
did you watch that little girl fight yesterday who's disabled down below? They put her on the mat.
I didn't see her, no.
I was nearly in tears, bro.
Jiu-jitsu yesterday, yeah?
Yeah, I didn't see it. Very, very sweet. And I was like, you know what? Like, just giving someone some outlet. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think as coaches, you have that paternal figure that you're trying to not embody, but you're giving it to them because you know when you was an athlete, you wish you had that. What did we get? We okay, alhamdulillah, we had some people who might support us, but we just went and learned how to not get killed. But just I took a beating every time I went to a different club, and you started going back thinking, how many limbs you broke? Stupid things, you break a limb, you break this, you break that, you injure your neck, and you're like, you didn't have no one saying, hey, don't do that, do this, you know?
I remember, and I think I want to talk about the other side of things as well, because the coaching side, we can get into it as well, yeah? Mm. But like, I think when you're a coach, yeah, and people come to you, you give more than you take. That they don't realize that. As a coach, you're just giving, yeah. You're emptying. You know that famous picture of father and son, yeah.
Oh, there's a hole.
There's a
jigsaw puzzle. There's a jigsaw puzzle, and he's taking
it out.
Have
you seen that one?
It's amazing. And you're building your child. Yeah, with your pieces.
You're taking a piece, and then there's the kid, and the kid is made up of the jigsaw of the dad.
Okay.
Yeah. The dad's just the shell.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel the coach is the same.
Yeah.
But the difference between father and son, is that sometimes your student doesn't reciprocate.
Yeah.
He doesn't see you in that light.
Mm.
Does that make sense? And I'm sure you both experienced...
It's nearly like a stepfather who's told by his... Remember that scene from...
You're not my dad.
Remember that Superman scene? Just before his dad died,
Man of Steel.
Superman says to Kevin Costner, he says, you're not even my real dad. And he went,
yes, that's basically it.
And then that scene where he's even up until that point,
yeah,
he's still trying to protect his son. He says, don't save me, because if they see you,
yeah,
they're going to hunt you down like an animal.
Yeah.
So he even died. Yeah. Even after hearing, you're not even my dad.
He's still a thing. So
that's what I'm saying. So it's that feeling that they don't, you're like, I'm treating like my son. Remember that scene, Rocky 5?
I was going to bring up Rocky 5,
Remember that scene where he goes, he's sitting there going, and he goes, I want to thank, he's like an angel in my corner. And you can see Rocky, he's getting so happy, and he goes, so-and-so, and he went.
It was his promoter, the Don King type.
He took his hat off, and he goes, and then his son goes, it's okay, dad, you know, like, and he's like, yeah, it's like his heart just got crushed.
Yeah.
How many of those suckers we had come through our life?
That's what I'm saying to you.
You know who you are.
So that's what I want to pick up, because obviously we don't have to say names, yeah? But I feel like this is important that we address this, because a lot of guys that listen to the podcast...
Say my name.
that have got a coach, and they're training, yeah? And I feel like, for me, I'm very traditional, bro. Like, when I first started training, I remember my dad took me to a club, yeah? And he said to me, this is your dad, bruv.
Yeah.
That's what he said to me, bruv. He goes, if you disrespect him, you disrespect me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then what happened was, this person that we first started training with, he was one of those dojo guys.
Mm.
Yeah. Then what happened was, a guy came from Algeria and
he like, killed everyone.
Yeah. So he was a black belt in Algeria, bruv. Yeah. And he came over and this guy, so he came over with one of his coaches. Sensei Sharif, bro, he's a big top G in Algeria, bro. Yeah, he's about in his 70s now. Yeah,
that's right.
And he put them through training. So, like, think of it like a seminar almost. My dad kind of hooked it up, bro. We were all dying, bro. Yeah. So, my dad saw this, and he was like, "Man, there's no different. Like, this is a night and day." Yeah. So, about 2-3 years later, his student came back. He was living in England. So my dad took me out of that club and put me with this guy. He goes, you're this guy's, that's your dad. Do you understand?
Mm. The problem is, bad people have bad dads.
That's it, bro. That's it. That's it. But the thing, too many. But the thing is, because I was little, I was only 12.
Yeah.
So I started training when I was 9. So about 12 years old, I started training with this guy. Wallahi, I'm not joking, bro, To this day, even though I don't train karate anymore, I've never trained with anyone else. Even people came to me and said, come and train him. I go, no, I'm not going to train. And I would, and there was no go train at another club or anything. That didn't fly, bro. You train with me. But the thing is, bro, when I look back at it, bro, he used to spend Saturdays with me. But he never charged me for training, bro.
Yeah.
He'd take me out. He'd pay for my food, bro. Like, you know, as a little kid, you don't
realize.
Don't realize. But as an adult, bro, he spent so much time with me, bro. Yeah. Like, even his own kids, he wouldn't see his kids as much as he'd see me, bro. Yeah.
And our family suffered, bro.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't want to say it in a bad way. I mean, they came to the gym with us, they trained, but we were not, we've given up that quintessential time.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, when you accept something, that's why it's very difficult. Like, if you look at a club, there are different types of students, innit? There are students that have been with you like 15, 20 years, They're not the same as the person who's walked in 10 minutes ago. Do you get me? Or trained with you a year.
Yeah.
Now, when the person that you've been training with or who you've been coaching and pouring into him, when that person decides overnight that you're not my coach anymore,
that's
for what reason, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And doesn't have that conversation with you, doesn't, like, but always thinks the grass is greener. Basically, Rocky Five.
Tommy Gunn.
Was it Tommy Gunn?
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah. Now that person's head is turned by someone else. Yeah. They've gone. Now, you know that person, your student, Akhar, is looking at me like this.
What did Polly say? You should have left him on the streets when he found him.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is, like, you know everything about this person.
Yeah.
You know his character. You know what he's like when he's lazy. You know what he's like, what to say when he's in a, when his head is down. You know that one student, he's too gassed, you need to knock him down. The other student, he's too shy, you need to build him back up again. Does that make sense? All these things. And this person's gone to someone else, That person doesn't know what you know, bro. But if you look at MMA, bro, this is professional sports, But if you look at fighters, how many have gone to another coach and prospered, bro.
But we've seen
it's
that.
It's very rare. Remember, it's not like...
We've seen it, that even that Polish girl, she left her club and she got smashed.
Who? Joanna?
Joanna.
Yeah. Her club came to me.
Is it?
Yeah, so their coach is... You know, so Mohamed Khalidov used to train there.
Who?
So Mohamed Khalidov, KSW champion.
Okay, right.
So
right.
He used to train. Very good fighter, mashallah. So they
team... See that savage you told me about? Like,
yeah, he was very... He's very, very good, brother. KSW, he retired and stuff, but okay. Very, very good.
That Polish team was good, kid.
Very good, very good team. But you know what it was? I met them, and they were lovely guys.
Yeah, it doesn't sit well that she's their student.
And it was like... And maybe she might have been good with them at that time, and then it was like... In her head, it was like... I don't want to live in Poland no more. Yeah. I need to be living in America. So, and the thing is, though, you know what? I think I battled with this for a long while. And then I came to that whole thing like, you know what, bruv? People are like this and you're not going to change them. Alhamdulillah, bruv. Me as a coach, I will do my best with people.
Sure.
And then whatever outcome, if you appreciate what I give, alhamdulillah. If you don't, no problem. I don't lose the sleep over people.
Of course.
I don't lose sleep over that. Because why? I think... Number one, I wouldn't be if I hold that resentment, then that's gonna come out on the next person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want that to come out on the next person.
you know it comes to mind. Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
When Tai Lung done all that madness and then that other the leopard girl. Who plays that
Angelina Jolie,
yeah? She's trying to like, and he's like, no, you're not good enough. Don't look at me. Because he poured all his love into Tai Lung. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, bro. It's a really good scene.
Yeah. There's a lot of hikmah in this. Yeah.
you have to think like...
No, unless, but when you get to a certain coach, age, you kind of look at things differently.
That's what I'm saying. As a coach, you're like, damn, I relate to that. That's...
But Sheikh, even in life though, you know, I've always said this in life. I will never ever sacrifice my good traits for bad traits.
Yeah, 100%.
Like I wouldn't.
It won't make you a bad person.
Just because you've hurt me, and that means I'm gonna start being bad to other people because you've done something to me. I have to be like that to other people. But if you're bad to me, that's your character. Yes, you show me who you are. That's it, done.
Sorry.
Alhamdulillah, bro. That's it. Yeah. Like, I think that's for us as coaches because people are gonna come and go, bro.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think they might be shy to tell you, like that they want to go to a place. Yeah. They might not find what they need in you.
Yeah.
I personally, that's not the issue here. The issue? I think personally...
He's trying to stir us up, bro.
I'm not trying to stir you up.
You want to see the bad side?
No, I don't want to see the bad side. For me, it's less about...
Tell him, bro. He's trying to kick it off, bro.
I'm not saying that... I think as a coach, you have to have a big heart and you have to be accommodating and you have to let, like you said, you have to let a lot go. I'm talking from a student's point of view. So as a parent, yeah? If I brought my child to you at 5 years old or 7 years old, and I'm like, right, me as a dad, I need to understand, right.
Yeah, but what is the niyah? Again,
this is it.
But we know, that's what I'm saying to you, Muhammad, you're talking about different people. Look, what is the intention of you, the first person? Like, say if I came to train with Amir, first, what is my intention to train with him? Am I coming? I had people used to come to the gym, Sheikh, just to take pictures, to post on their Insta, and you can see it. Do you get it? Like, oh, can I take a picture of you? It's like, oh, all right, cool, no problem. Why do you want to do that for? Why don't you just do the session? And then he'll tag you. I just finished training here. And it's like, why? Like, do you get what I'm saying to you? So their intention was one thing. I had other people come to me. You train them. Someone whispers in their ear, you know, you should be earning £20,000 a fight. £20,000 a fight? And when they come to me and tell me that, I laugh at them. I said, £20,000. I go, who are you? But honestly, who are you? What have you done to earn £20,000? UFC fighters get contracts in UFC. Their first fight is £20,000. You're not even a UFC fighter. Why do you think you can demand that much money? And it's like, and then once that seed goes in their head.
It's cancer, bro.
You're trying to hold me
back.
Oh,
yeah.
You're against me.
Tommy Gunn, bro.
It is Tommy Gunn.
It's literally, bro. Who's listening to this, watch Rocky V.
Rocky V
is an underrated film, bro.
I think
because
everyone has gone. But Rocky V will tell you the life of a fighter all the way up to a coach, everything.
100%, bro. Exactly he got it spot on, bro.
But he was even holding you're telling about coaches. Rocky was holding the spit bucket and the guy said to him, why are you holding it for? You're better than that. Yeah. And a guy spitting in the thing and he's going all over him.
Yeah.
It's mad, bruv.
And that's what, bruv, I remember telling people, I remember I used to hold people's stinky feet to make them correct in their position. And they forget that you was doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I used to hold their foot, and I put your foot like this.
I think one of the problems we've had, and probably the reason why we have got these unfortunate Ronins lurking everywhere, and actually, if you want,
and this is not
we're not digging.
It's not a bitter thing. No, it's more like raising awareness and making people understand.
But the thing, I'll give you an example. Look, we never saw that much when we were growing up because you never had social media. You kind of stuck with your coach. You kind of believed that they were helping you and guiding you. And, you know, when you went to compete, it was literally like, even if you lost, you're like, no, I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere.
But I spoke to you earlier. Can I just say one thing, though? Mm-hmm. I saw something yesterday and I loved it. There was a man, he comes home quickly and his daughter's standing there. He goes to his daughter. She's in her pajamas. He goes, she's only about 6-7 years old. But this is ride or die. Ride or die, yeah? He goes, I'm having a fight with someone's dad. And he's got a daughter. You need to come with me to fight her. She goes, come, let's go. I was like...
Yesterday, yeah?
I saw... It was a challenge. But he's saying to his daughter, I need you to come. And she was so cute. She goes, okay, let's go. He goes, I need you to fight the girl. And it was like, that's the loyalty that you would want.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, okay.
But Kate, it goes back to what you said before, isn't it? And we're not agreeing with the narrative, but you can see why in a lot of these old cultures in the Far East in Japan, father, son.
Yeah, of course.
Because there was an elemental thing about, you know what, he's my dad. At
the end but of not necessarily. I think, you know, the father to son thing, you know your children.
Mm.
So when you teach your children, they're raised with certain ethics, morals, certain characteristics.
They can still be punks.
Yeah, they can still be punks. But you'll know them. Yeah. So what happens? But the thing is, though, when you have a student that comes to you, he's training with you 1 hour a day. I don't know what you do 23 hours a day.
Yeah.
I met one of my students today, and I was actually in a coffee shop. He came, and he goes, oh, sorry, coach, I haven't been there for a couple of weeks. My friend got stabbed. Oh, okay. First thing I asked him, I was sitting there, let him finish. He goes, it really broke me. I've been there. He has to...
Colostomy bag. Or
yeah, the bag kind of thing now. I said, I'm skiing. Is he in a gang? I've been around to... No, not really. But was it a gang problem? Yeah, it was. Oh, okay. But he's not a gangster. I said, yeah, I know he's not a gangster.
Mm.
And I said to him, you need to stay away from all this stuff.
Mm.
Because... you're not like that. Yeah. So stay away from this stuff. And he goes, yeah, you're right, coach. He said he's going to get everyone back. I said, bruv, he's already got a bag.
Listen.
He's already got a bag and he wants to get everyone else back. Now, I go, next place he's going to go, unfortunately, is the grave. Yeah. I go, this never ends well.
So this is something I was speaking to my son about. I'm also telling me, it's a kid at school. Lovely boy. He said he just plays Xbox and plays football. Okay, student. He goes, Dad, I just found out he's doing a life sentence. So what? Because he stabbed someone to death. What? Because he got involved with some guys. I was like, this is what I'm talking about.
Mm.
It's just slippery slope, isn't it?
You can tell a lot about a kid as well. Even how they interact with their parents, bro.
So you touched on a point. Like yesterday we had competition, yeah? So me and Nami were saying a lot of the students fought. They didn't perform as well as we would like them to, but you go home as a coach and you feel a little bit...
It burns.
You just, yeah.
It burns in a sense that... What hurts as well is that do you feel like you let them down, that they weren't able to perform? So they won't see that side of it. It's like, even though you lost, I've lost with you.
Yeah.
I lost with you and it's like, now you start questioning, you think, okay, did he do enough this stuff? What the pitfall for them is when they start doing stuff like I said to you, they start blaming everyone else. Oh, the referee done this. Oh, he's against us. This person. So I said, no one's against you. And that attitude in anything, in life, in business or anything, when you start blaming other people rather than taking responsibility for yourself, why did I lose?
Yeah.
Why did I let this guy mount me? Why couldn't I escape mount? Or why couldn't I pass his guard? So there were actual technical issues that you couldn't get past. The referee didn't stop you from passing his guard. No, you couldn't get at his guard. Yeah. So now you have a problem with your technique. And then what I said to them is, look at all the series of techniques that I've taught you. Could you have used them in that situation? If the answer is yes, then you've got to work harder that in those techniques. If the person done something that we've never seen before, like he just jumped on your neck and he done some moves
that we never... magical move.
And you've never seen that before. Okay, cool. Then there might have been a coaching problem. Okay, you're not ready for that level. Maybe something's not there. But if we've shown, if we've shown you how to escape from mount, side mount, and you was side mount, you're actually getting the guy in the headlock, then there's a technical issue there. Mm-hmm. That's not my, that wasn't my fault.
That's your fault. Or doing karate chops on the guy's throat.
Yeah, karate, doing karate chop on the, you get? So it's not something that, as a coach, it's like, okay, we need to highlight this. Now, if you still say to me that, oh, the ref made me lose, then that's the issue.
That's a red flag, bro.
That is an issue. Yeah. Because what you're doing is you're not taking responsibility for yourself.
Yeah.
Also, do you think that martial arts Sorry, I finished,
but just a point, because in my head. You find that a lot of people do that in life. Mm. You're not where you want to be because, and again, Rocky part bloody six or whatever, or eight, where he's talking about...
his son.
His son, where he got, he's saying to him that you're blaming everyone else for where you want to be in life.
Mm.
You do it. Go and do it. No one's stopping you. But nowadays, you, no one can stop you from doing anything.
Yeah.
I think, just to pick up on what you said, martial arts is about self-awareness, bro.
Mm.
Knowing yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, if you haven't, if you've been training martial arts and you don't know yourself, that means you haven't been training martial arts, bro.
Yeah.
Real talk. Technique is just an expression of how well you know yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I'm not a triangle guy. I can't do that. Yeah. Or my weakness is this. So therefore, I'm going to do this to kind of combat that weakness. And that bleeds into your daily life. If you wake up in the morning and all you're thinking about is... I've been around people like that, bro. Like, and it's very difficult to be around someone like that. Because those people can only exist around people like them. Like, if you're with someone... I remember, like, a few years ago, I was in a shop just up the road from Legion. Some of the guys in the area opened the shop. And local boys, yeah. And I was chatting to them. I was like, look, the guys I grew up in school with, yeah. One time I was walking past my mom's house and they were there chatting, yeah. And bruv, we're in our 30s, bro. Yeah, so we're chatting. And then now they say, oh, I'm a, you know, you meet like school friends. That's how I want to chat to them. And I kind of said, you know, after you said hello and everything, they started talking amongst themselves and I'm just standing there, yeah. And the conversation literally made me dumber, bro. But you know, you feel your brain getting like, I'm like, wow, all they were talking about is what this person was wearing,
yeah.
That person was driving.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went to this party and that guy was looking at me like this. And it was, there was no introspective talk.
Mm.
There was, I'm not saying you have to be deep every time, bro. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But sometimes you're like, rah, you've actually.
You're saying the same conversation with your sister.
This is it.
You've regressed.
Or like,
you've de-evolved.
I don't know if, correct me if I'm wrong. I heard this from somewhere, bro, yeah? It says that, you know, some people who experience big traumas in their life, yeah, they stop growing at that age. So if for example, at 9 years old, you experienced like a big trauma in your life, some like that age is what you'll be until you get over that trauma, bro.
Mm.
So some mans are walking around like they're 14 years old. Yeah.
40s, 50s.
But they're in their 50s, bro. Because they've experienced something that they haven't even had the...
No, but I think, you know what it is? It's an excuse to use that trauma is what's going to... So basically, it's like...
Yeah, but they're not even...
It's a safety net.
Yeah.
No, it becomes a safety net. So I'm not where I want to be in life because this happened to me when I was 12.
That's exactly it, bro. Yeah. That's exactly what... Yeah, case in point, yeah? Like, they haven't done that work internally, mentally, bro. Because as you get older, you should be able to look back into yourself and think, I don't like that about myself. I should improve.
I always try to do one thing. Every year, I want my personality to change a little bit in a sense of...
All right.
In a sense of like, I grow as a person a little bit. Mm. Every year, Khalid shouldn't still think exactly how I did last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to think a little bit different. Okay, I have a different view on this. And that's why I said to you, like, if you ask me about people leaving and this, all this stuff, like, a few years back, I'll be like, yeah, I was really upset about it. But like, now, it's like, I don't really care, bro.
So it goes back to what we're all saying, really, is Maslow's hierarchy of effect in it.
Mm.
So if you look at the pinnacle of anything is self-actuation, how to be better. But to get to that, there's certain levels, physiological needs, safety needs, love, being loved, loving others, and then et cetera, et cetera. And I think this is where, as coaches, we're trying to implement that in everyone that we meet. And I think few people actually can see it, but most of them, like you said, they just see you as a tool, you know? And like you're saying, it's very difficult to be... this is my Persian side coming now, brother. It's very hard to like disengage from someone. You're like, you know, and I think just a little bit, and you know, you guys always hear me, you're like, oh, man, I need a little bit of North African in me. That would have sorted me out years ago.
No, but I feel like to be a coach, you have to be empathetic. You have to be. You can't be a coach and not have empathy, bro. But I think that's impossible.
It comes back to that whole two paradigms, isn't it? Coach is selfless. Athlete has to be selfish.
Yeah.
You know, I remember some guy said he coaches and an athlete. I said, you can, but it's hard. If you really want to coach, you've got to basically switch off everything. And that's what when you know people say to us, oh, you're going to fight. And I'm like, let me tell you something. Yeah. If we have to fight, we close our clubs down.
Yeah.
We go live back home in the mountains, train with the national team.
Yeah.
And then I'll be back after but 6 months. That's what, it doesn't that's, look like that.
See, when I was fighting and I was coaching at the same time, what I did was, it was basically, I gave up all my duties.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you have to hand it over.
Yeah, it was like, I'm no longer the owner of the gym. Nope. I'm now
a fighter.
Yeah, anyone comes to me, I'm not dealing with that. I've got to speak to that person. Yep. So I now had to... You have to get into that fight mode. And yeah, it's selfish.
It's selfish because it is about yourself.
You have to. Because, bro, you're the one getting punched in the face.
Yeah, bro. You're going to literally die, bro. You could die.
That's what I used to tell people. I said to my girl, I have to be like this.
Some of those days, you switch off, say, right, I'm going to now train well.
And even like, my training, I kept trying to jump into the classes. I thought, I'm not getting to train, so let me jump into the classes. I found that difficult because as soon as my mind, and I would get angry, I'd go to train. Because my mind, okay, I'm going to teach the class, but I'm going to train as well. I go to teach and I start showing the move. I start training, but some coach, I don't understand something.
You're like,
But then what happens is, now your training stops, you go and help.
Yeah.
But then after, I didn't train. Yeah. So what I did, I separated it. I have to train on my own.
Yeah.
I always train in the morning and I'll train after the class or I come to Legion and stuff. And that's my training done. It has to be work-rounded.
I feel like also...
That mindset's really important. You have to disengage it. I'm going to coach now. So like you said, I train hard in the morning, do my cardio, my lifting, my weights, my swimming. And then once a week, maybe open mat. Right. This is about... Yeah. That's it. I'm going to go, you know...
I think even having a family holds you back, bro.
Yeah.
For example, you weren't married.
This is life, though.
Huh?
This is life.
Yeah, it's life. It's
look,
life.
That's
yeah.
why they say it's a young man's sport. Yeah. Look, yeah. And I gave the analogy to a couple of guys when they were younger. I said, look, this is how I feel life is. When you're young, you've got this like light summer jacket on and you're bopping down the road. Then you see Amir. He goes, oh, bro, can you hold this for me? And you put it in your pocket. And you carry on walking. You meet your wife. She gives you something, put it in your pocket. You have kids. And now that jacket starts getting heavy.
What the hell did you give him, bro?
No, I'm saying to you. You're still trying to get to your destination, but it's just
slower.
It's slower.
Oh, it's more effort.
It's more effort. Yeah. And it's more effort. And some people can get there, but it's just effort now because those burdens are your responsibilities.
Yes.
So. That's why, bro, like I said, I remember when I went to, when I was at the UFC PI and stuff, and we're just talking to some friends. I said, listen, I go, bro, to be honest, I know some guys from my area that will smash all of you lot. Life never let him happen. Never let him get a chance.
Yeah.
It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't written for them. Yeah. Injuries.
They
had family. Someone got sick in their household. They have to look after their mum. Put that aside. Death. Loads of stuff, bruv. And it's like, it's a blessing that you're here. It was written for you. Alhamdulillah. But don't take that for granted. Don't be arrogant about it.
Yeah.
Because I know some brothers in the area that would wipe the floor with all of you lot.
Yeah.
And it just they're not seen.
Yeah,
but I remember I went to a boxing club, and I was training in Walthamstow. I walked in, and there was this guy hitting the pegs. Mashallah, no top on, but ripped. He looked about I would say 20 years old. Yeah, pop, 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 pop. Technique was on point and everything. Said to the coach, "Who's that guy?" He goes, "Oh, Sugar." I go, "Man, when's he fighting?" "He ain't fighting. But he retired like." Long time ago. He's like 46 years old. Bro, he looked 20. He goes, but no one ever knew he had problems in his life and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I watched it, as a coach, when I saw him, I was like,
this guy's on point.
This guy is amazing.
Yeah. Well, what did that John Danaher call them gym monsters?
Yeah.
Because these guys, you don't see them and then you... And there was one tournament.
Look at Aldam with Alama Barak.
Alama Barak.
Mashallah, yeah.
I mean, if this guy entered like ADCC,
he'd
be a problem, bro. Abdurrahman.
Wait, let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
Bro, we were doing guard passing. Bro, to this day, I still laugh, yeah? You had to pass the guard.
Yeah.
You know what he done? From guard, he suplexed someone. Yes. Bro, you know what he done? He opened his legs, put his legs behind him, grabbed the guy, body lock.
No, no, one second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah. Look. So he body locked someone.
Wait, wait. You're in his guard, right, and you got a pass. You know what he done? He opened his legs, put his knees on the floor, body locked him, and then
how did he get from...
My mate, let me tell you something.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, Allahumma barik.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Even Abdurrahman.
A Dagestani
Abdurrahman, yeah, bro. Like, I still remember the day he made me see camels, bro. He put me in the head of Namcho. It was one of my first lessons, yeah. Put me in the head of Namcho. I don't know how he got there. And I'm like, oh my God, there's camels. Oh, I'm going to pass out. But he's a lot flexible, okay, fast.
Yeah.
But obviously, life, bro.
Life hit him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that there's a lot of those guys.
I've met so many. As I said to you, that, like, it's like, you know, when they're in it and it's like, oh, I've made it. And you think so. Yeah. Yeah. It's been written for you, bro. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Like, appreciate
it. I saw this thing like the other day, like a short, you know, a YouTube short.
Yeah.
It's a basketball player. I can't remember what his name was. Yeah, he was like a wicked basketball player, bro. Played for Miami Heat or something. Like NBA player, bro, yeah?
Yeah.
Some guy was driving and he saw him on the street, bro. Bro, he looked like a crackhead. Yeah.
Oh, I saw this.
You see that one?
I saw it. He's homeless and stuff now.
I don't know if he's homeless.
Yeah, yeah, he's a crackhead. He's homeless.
But he's not well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were chatting to him.
Miami Heat.
Yeah, yeah, I think Miami Heat or going to drugs, but he had some mental health issues. Bro, can you know what he said to them? He goes, sometimes I can't even remember I played basketball.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got MS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like some sort of...
Something wrong with him.
Neurodegenerative disease.
Yeah.
No, he didn't have that. He was suffering...
No, he had some disease, I think it's Alzheimer's, something like that, bro. Yeah. But he's losing his memory. He can't even remember. He goes, sometimes I forget that I played basketball.
Wow. Is he old?
No, bro. He's like probably 40, 45.
Yeah, I thought he was got into drugs and stuff.
He got into drugs.
Yeah.
He had mental health issues, got into drugs. And then as a result of that...
So again, look at this, yeah? Goes back to what? Where was the coach?
Yeah.
Was he just a trainer, a cash cow?
But when you're playing pro level, yeah, it is basic. Because
you're right.
Look, Sheikh, Manchester United, like, yeah, do you follow pop football?
There he is.
No, I'm just saying, that's him, yeah.
Delonte West. Look at him, bro.
Oh, my word.
Go scroll down, Zach.
Late 90s, bro.
Right? Yeah. Look at him now. Look at, go down.
Look at him before.
Picture.
Look at him before.
Cavaliers, yeah. He played with LeBron, bro.
Wow.
That's how your life just got that, bro. Yeah.
So we got a break for Maghrib, bro.
Yeah, come.
Okay. Yeah, and then we'll just finish up, inshallah, afterwards. And we're back. All right, so let's take this home, yeah. So we started off by the top five martial arts movies, yeah. So we need the definitive list because you guys threw a lot of films at me, yeah.
It's too many.
So let's start with number five.
It's too many.
But before we start with five, can I just say one film that never ever got sorted out?
We're never gonna get five.
No. What was Game of Death?
Oh, yes.
That broke my soul because for years I actually thought Bruce Lee was still alive.
Yeah.
Oh, so hold on, Game of Death, it was finished.
No, it wasn't finished.
It came after his...
Yeah, so they had like cutouts. And yeah. If you watch it, it's actually Bruce cutouts.
Bruce Lee, it
started off with Bruce Lee, innit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Game of Death was with, what's his name? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, innit?
Yeah. So they shot a lot of bits, but then they had...
They never made it.
He never finished. And that's not the actual story that he wanted.
Yeah, yeah. Right. They mixed it up bad, bro.
And then if you actually watch it, there's a lot of like cutouts of Bruce Lee and stuff. So it's not actually him.
Watch it again.
Like just like someone standing there in the photo.
No.
Yeah, I think you watch it. It's like there's a lot of like really bad.
I've got to watch it. There was one where he had Operation. What was that one? Like, remember? He got shot in the face.
That was Game of Death.
That was Game of Death.
They had to make it like...
Oh, it finished because he got shot in the face or whatever.
And then
he looked completely different, bro.
Yeah.
So that was Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Or something.
Right.
Absolute lot of trash. But anyway.
Yeah, so, okay.
Ain't going to happen, top five.
No, we've got to do it.
It's not going to happen, bro.
It's arbitrary, bro. It's not like... It's what we think.
Yeah, I know, but...
Okay, top three. Okay, top three.
I can't think of top three,
if you can only watch... I would say... Definitely Enter the Dragon has to be top three, bro.
Yeah, okay. Enter the Dragon.
Personally,
let me tell you which ones are probably why, because most influential for me.
Okay, go on.
Was probably Van Damme movies.
Yeah.
God, which one was your
Bloodsport? Yeah. Kickboxer.
It's just them two, isn't it? Really.
Bloodsport, Kickboxer, and probably AWOL.
AWOL.
I did, yeah, like, but AWOL was like.
Do you know why I like AWOL, bro? Because it had that really wicked black actor. Dark. He goes, Lionheart. Lionheart, you think she cares? It's all on you, Lionheart. Bro, that guy.
You know, but the thing is, that it's like, actor. It was a caricature of what a black person was. That was kind of like, every film had a black guy like that, bro, which is,
the same
guy in Kickboxer, bro.
He goes,
oh, yeah. Come on, I know it's the same actor, but it's the same character, bro.
Yeah.
You look at, hey, it's kind of like copy and paste, bro. Yeah. There was no depth to that character, bro.
But that's
80s, isn't it? You can't like, it's like how Arabs in the 80s were all,
yeah.
And get run into gunfire.
They're still like now.
It's like Back to the Future. Yeah. The Libyans are coming.
Yeah. Like that, there was no thought. Like all Chuck Norris films. I used to love Chuck Norris films.
Oh my God, Delta Force.
Oh my God.
One man motorbike with two missiles takes on the whole of the Arab Peninsula.
Oh my God. Okay, so you pick your top three. You pick, and I'll pick my top three. You'd watch over and over again.
Bloodsport, I watched over and over again.
Okay.
I think Kickboxer, I watched over and over again.
Yeah.
And probably another one that I used to like watching. I did probably Universal Soldier.
Mm.
I like Universal Soldier.
It kind of had a proper storyline, didn't it?
That was good. Top three.
My top three, definitely Bloodsport and Kickboxer. And unfortunately, it has to be AWOL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what it is? It's what Kay was saying. It's I can watch it again and again. The thing is, Fist of... can I add one in?
Sorry. Go on.
The remake of Fist of Fury.
With Jet Li?
With Jet Li, yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
That was good.
Really good. Yeah. Really good. Really. I could watch that again and again and again.
That was good.
Do you know what? You know those films? Like, Enter the Dragon, there's too much people getting... Like, it was just too much emotion. The black gentleman putting the acid and the other... It was just like...
No, but you know what I liked about Enter the Dragon? It was like... Almost like a Hollywood film.
Yeah, it was kind of raw.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the way it was shot and... Like, you know, most Kung Fu films before that were shot a little bit different, innit? Does that make sense? And you had Western actors in it as well, which kind of translated well over. So, that for me was one of the first Bruce Lee films.
Van Damme films, bro, it really was just action.
Do you know what I said about Van Damme stuff? For me, it was like, I was influenced to get up and do stuff. I think that's why I liked it so much.
Did you start kickboxing because of that?
No, I think it was before that.
I started way before that. I watched my first martial arts movie that I watched was Jackie Chan Project A.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
Old school.
Yeah, that was my first.
How about Police Story?
Police Story.
Yeah, those fight scenes.
1, 2, 3. So that's what I said to you. So when you watch it, you go, I want to do that.
Yeah.
So
I was already I used to go around the house jumping on the sofas and that stuff, which I think every kid that would have done.
I think we had, I would say Karate Kid for me was number one. Because we had the videotape at home. Remember, Zach?
Yeah.
We would watch it almost every week.
Yeah.
Rewind.
Zach, at 6, 7 years old, he knew the whole dialogue, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we'd get him to like, remember?
Yeah, bro.
We'd act it out for
Daniel-san.
Him. Come here!
You stood up, yeah?
So, correct. I think Enter the Dragon really had a big impact on me, bro. I've watched that so many times.
Yeah.
And it used to come on TV quite a bit, innit?
Yeah.
Then they crapped on it with the new... The new one with Jackie Chan and...
you're talking about Karate Kid?
Wasn't Karate Kid, bro.
My God.
That was Kung Fu as well.
How about Karate Girl? Who was it? Jennifer?
Karate Kid 4.
The next Karate Kid.
Three, yeah.
Yeah, the next Karate Kid.
Nah.
That girl, what was it? I forgot her name.
And I think...
Electra, what was her name? Jennifer
Garner.
Jennifer Garner, yeah.
And I think after those two, like there's a lot in between, yeah? But the next film that I watched, I was like, whoa! Was Ong Bak.
Ong Bak was wicked.
Bruv, that was the first film.
The first one.
As a teenager, when I watched it, I was like, this is like the films back in the day.
Yeah.
It was different. Like, Muay Thai wasn't really done.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere as well, bro.
It kind of came out of nowhere. The double knees,
elbows,
through the thing.
Elbows.
Yeah. All that stuff, bruv. That for me. So Ong Bak would be top three for me, bruv. I think I'll throw one bonus one, which is Universal Soldier.
Mm.
Because I like the science fiction element of it.
There's too many though.
There's loads.
If you actually got, but I had like a CD collection of all the old martial arts movies.
Oh my god.
Like every single one, bro. Like I'd like whole box.
Why couldn't they do what they do with like Xbox games? They have like, you know, there's one
box
game,
sets.
No, one game that covers 360 or 400 all the old Sega games, Sega Master.
Oh right, yeah. Because yeah. I remember, like in the early 2000s, when I
one like
CD,
one CD, like
because it's you know this high. I know you're not in. You don't know anything about computers. You know? So you want one CD?
Can we?
Okay, let me, can he we said remind, CD, by the way. Yeah.
That, can we remind everyone about the power source?
This is how I know your skills only fit in the doctor realm. Yeah. Because a CD. Do you remember how much a CD? How many megabytes in a CD, bro?
1 megabyte.
It's like 800, bro. That's it.
It's like 700 and something megabytes. So, if you was to burn, because I used to burn CDs, yeah, back right. in the day.
Yeah.
You can only get one film, but if you want to. Put a whole back catalog of martial arts films in one CD.
Like on the Xbox, man. I don't know.
But on the hard drive, yeah, definitely, bro. I remember in the early 2000s when, remember Napster?
Napster.
Oh and Donk, was it Mule?
Napster used to be like a music thing, innit?
Yeah, but you can download movies as well, bro.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
LimeWire,
that's it, all that stuff. I used to actually get CDs from Tottenham Court Road, you know those, and burn it on my thing, and I had all the...
We still got them, bro.
Yeah, still got them, innit? Yeah. We used to make, and then I used to code them so that I can actually put in a DVD player, bro.
So I used to do it with all of the anatomy stuff like that way. I found such a whole bunch
on LimeWire.
Yeah, I found a whole bunch of dissections, and I was
what
like,
"What do you mean anatomy?
You know, like basically prosections. You'd cut. This is this. You know, all of the
what cadavers. Actual live?
No, but cadavers are dead.
Yeah, but actual dead bodies, bro.
Yeah, it was actually documented.
What filmed?
Yeah, they're called dissections or prosections.
Do you see the face and everything?
No, obviously they'll cover up certain limbs. If you're doing upper, like thorax, upper limb, lower limb, head and neck, whatever it was, perineum, they'll just show that particular part of the body. But I remember having them, and obviously I'd never, can't be bothered to put a CD in and press play and wait for it. Like,
and then
you've got to somehow find how to press play because there's no CD function.
Oh my God, someone was like doing a breakdown of Robocop, yeah, the other day. And he goes, you know what the scariest thing about Robocop is? But when he said it, I was like, raw, that's mad, bruv. He goes, you remember, was it Robocop 2 when they transplanted that guy's brain into the thing?
Oh, that was Kane.
Yeah, Kane. He said, imagine this, yeah? He
Not goes, Kane from Wales, wrestler.
Imagine this, yeah? He goes, his brain and his eyes were a thing. He goes, imagine, the guy was walking around with the guy's head in it, his face. Remember, they peeled off his face.
Yeah.
He goes, imagine, he's seeing all this, he can't even scream, bro.
Yeah.
He goes...
Holy yeah.
Think about it. It's only his eyes and his brain. He goes, how frightening is that, bro?
Yeah.
When you come to think about it.
Is that possible, though?
Huh?
Nah.
He'll be dead.
Of course, this... Hello? It's a film, bro.
Robocop.
It's a film, bro.
Well, the interesting thing is...
Boom!
Okay.
Remember, see, he goes, you think you're smart? Can you ask smart a bullet?
Bro, Robocop 1.
Wicked.
Legendary, bro.
Yeah.
And then they made the...
I watched Predator a couple of days ago.
Oh my God.
Such a good movie, though.
Was Predator the one where...
Remember he's shaving his head? And he breaks things. And
they're trying to do a prequel Native Americans or whatever.
I don't know
about that.
It looks good. It looks good. It's called Prey. But it looks good, but it's on Disney and it's only... It's like a 12.
No.
I was like, nah, it's not. It has to be 18, bro.
But I want Arnie to come back, bro.
He can't come back.
Come on, do it.
But he's looking trim now.
What are you waiting for?
Come on!
Get to the chopper.
Yeah. But what about his big Austrian...
That's what it was about. Yeah. Chopper! Come on! That was it. That's what he was saying, isn't it? The best thing, he goes... Punching pencils too much.
Was see the thing with Predator, bro? Yeah. When you look back at it, it was ahead of its time, bro.
We were talking about this yesterday. I go. You got to think about this, yeah. Predator at that time there was nothing like it.
Nothing like it.
It was like usual. You see these action movies, they go to the jungle, and it turns into horror.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? Like, it just flips, bro.
Do you remember the intestines from that guy?
Yeah, he pulls it out.
God,
yeah.
That's crazy.
I never understood.
And a very multicultural cast,
did
it?
Why did Billy stay there, bro?
Do you know why?
Is that enough?
No. Do you know why? Do you know what it was? It's when Apollo Creed goes, Billy goes, you ain't no man. And then he goes, what's doing? And then Puddle Creek goes, the boy's not well. It's really hot out here. Bro, he starts because he's not well. It's quite hot out here. Yeah, he's dehydrated. Yeah,
yeah. But Bob, they were specimens, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Apollo Creed,
bro. You had Jesse Ventura in it?
Yeah, Jesse Ventura. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Ain't got time to bleed.
Yeah, ain't got no time to bleed.
So if you look at, like, there's no one compared to them, like Arnie. No.
They're trying to make The Rock into him, but there's no way, no way.
Man, I think the Rock is a diet version of Arnie, man.
No way in the same.
They had, no, see, the thing with Arnie, they had character. This edge, bro.
Character.
Charismatic.
Yeah,
you know what? The problem with Rock, bro, and if you're watching this, Rock, there's a problem. The problem with Rock is he done too much of those comedy films.
Yeah,
done the WWE thing. Okay, well, I mean, Arnie done.
I think WWE is fine, bro, but.
Yeah,
like,
no, but as in it's not. Arnie always done action, and then he done some couple of stupid
things. But also, Arnie didn't care about acting. Do you understand? Like, Rock is too into, like, you know, like.
Like kindergarten.
Like, he wants to be. Yeah. He's done, like, he played this guy who plays the guitar, singing, and he's done. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Arnie's like, nah, bro, I want to shoot. Yeah. Like, there's this whole thing about how many mans he's killed in the
Remember
film.
Remember that,
bro?
Him and Stallone, they had that thing. Yeah. How can you
The body count.
Yeah, the body count, yeah, yeah. So it was like.
Stallone would have won, though.
Yeah, definitely in that Rambo film.
Yeah, Rambo 3 muscle. He killed everyone. He killed everyone.
The way he cut them down with that gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So we got it then, yeah?
Well, everyone's got their own one, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it's endless, bro.
It's endless. But I
guarantee on the way home, you're going to make me think. I'm going to start thinking of some other ones.
What was that film you said to watch again? The Jackie Chan one, said it was really good.
Project A.
Yeah.
Wicked film. I'm
gonna watch it, man.
Project
A. And Police Story. I think that's Police Story, isn't it?
No. It was where he's a sailor.
Yeah. Oh, wow, man.
So good.
You know,
have you seen Police Story, man?
Do you know what it is, bro?
It's three or four.
Like, yeah, I've meant to watch it. Oh, here we go.
You've never seen Police Story?
No.
Come on,
bro. I've seen, you know, like, Because back in the day, it's either on TV or whatever. So I'd watch like the end of it or the beginning of it. I've never watched the whole.
You know the new Jackie Chan?
Yeah.
This was like prime Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
All that Project A, Police Story 1, 2, 3, above. Watch him fight in that.
So I've watched Drunken Master, those ones. And then I kind of, you know those middle ones like, I watched Rumble in the Bronx.
Nah, rubbish.
I didn't really like it, bro.
Rubbish, bro.
I watched.
That's towards the end when he started coming to America.
Yeah. So that's how I caught Jack. That middle bit, Police Story bit, I didn't really watch
that's
it.
That's the best bit, bro.
Yeah.
Well, you to watch that, you appreciate him even more.
And then I got into Korean stuff, innit? Like in, there was one, it's not Korean, Infernal Affairs.
I saw that.
The Departed is based on it. Yeah. And then Old Boy and those.
I just remember another one. Do you remember Choi Yun-fat?
Oh my word.
Choi Yun-fat.
How old is that, bro?
What, the actor?
Actor, Choi Yun-fat. Yeah. So he made...
Choi Yun-fat.
He made some other films where they play police officers and stuff. What's it called?
He played this... Then he got into Hollywood as well, wasn't it? Choi Yun-fat.
Yeah, then he got into Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, he's made all these guys, bro, that time.
Bro, he's 67, bro.
67, yeah?
Wow. I wonder how old Jackie Chan is, bro.
About 70.
Jackie Chan must be 70, yeah.
Like when he made The Foreigner, that was quite that was a very deep film.
Bro. Yeah.
Bro, he's 68.
Who, yeah. Jackie Chan,
yeah? It's about right, bro. It's about right.
He looks good, though.
Let me see.
What, you want to see what he looks like now?
Yeah.
1 second. Jackie Chan, bro. What do you reckon?
Hair transplant always does a trick.
Do you reckon his hair transplant, bro?
I don't know.
Nah, he's... you don't see many bald Chinese guys, man. Master Wong is bald, bro.
You see all of them in Wong. Oh, Master Wong. You do a podcast on him, bro.
Master
Wong.
Bro, look at this. Look at this. He looks like he's had enough, bro.
Oh, yeah, he's done with that.
He's done with the... Chris Tucker goes, I went to China with his son, didn't it? He goes, Jackie Chan knows everything. You want to go to my hotel? Yeah, it's my hotel. You want to eat it? It's my restaurant. Have you seen that clip?
No. He owns everything.
He goes, Jackie, where are you going? He goes, everywhere he goes, yeah. He goes, I came here to see you. He goes, no, you come to my hotel. You go to... Oh, it's freaking hilarious, bro. Oh, it's too much. All right, boys. I think we'll end on that, inshallah. So, guys, thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you on the next one.